Please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts. Once again, Acts chapter 3, as we continue this wonderful study of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3, beginning to read with the 11th verse today. Acts chapter 3, verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One, the just, and desired the murderer to be granted unto you. He killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, for your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." We're going to end there, verse 19, but let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come into your presence and enjoy this time together. Please that you'll guide and lead us through these precious words. We have many scripture verses to look up today as we have this wonderful study, wonderful time. We come to class. We come to look to your word and to enjoy your word and to grow, dear Father. It's wonderful, just wonderful, Father, to look each and every day and study your precious word every day. And then we have an opportunity to come together on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, Tuesday afternoon, to study your precious word and enjoy this precious time all the more, because you tell us where two or more are gathered that you're going to come in a special power and a special presence. And so, Father, please just speak to our hearts as we've come together today to hear from you. Those that do not know you as their Savior, that they'll come today, that they tarry no longer. Please do not put it off, because today may be the very last day. Today is the day of salvation, and no other is promised. Please, dear Lord, just bring salvation to the lost and help us to learn and to grow in your precious word as born-again believers. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The joy of studying the Word of God and looking at this lame man that is by the hand of God that's been healed and is leaping up. He leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God, as the 8th verse tells us. And we find there in verse 11 where folks had kind of gathered now at the porch called Solomon's, and it was many were wondering what was going on. They knew this man. There was no question of who this man was, that he had been the man that they had seen many times crippled, laying at the gate there, and he had been in this condition, you know, from his day of birth. From his mother's womb, he has been lame and been crippled. And so it speaks of his legs and his ankles being made strong so he could stand up. And what a miracle. Well, at this miracle then, being performed by our God, and all those that witnessed it. Now we come to the 12th verse, and Peter begins to see these folks gathering. And as he watches these come around, he says, and he saw it, and he answered unto the people. Now that word answered there is not that someone asked him a question. It's that he saw an opportunity. And so in witnessing the group that was there, knowing what they believed, or sad to say, did not believe. They did not believe in the Messiah. And so he took this opportunity to speak. And he didn't miss this opportunity. And he begins and he says, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this?" That was the question that he had. "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this?" The people looked at Peter and looked at John as if they had healed this man. You see, it's a lot easier for the world and man to look at something that we have performed. They would even they would always rather, the world is this way, the world always would rather give the glory to a man, even though that he had because he had a special power, but they would glorify the man, and they refuse to glorify God and give the proper praise and honor to the one that has done this great miracle here. And so Peter, immediately seeing this, he wants to know, because he said, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk?" I want to explain to you, Peter saying, we had nothing to do with this. Why are you looking? And you know, they should have known, because this was such a miraculous healing, that there was no question that the Jews, those that were watching here, would have known it had to be the hand of God to do this, because no man could do it. And yet they looked upon John and Peter as if they were the ones that performed this miracle. And so Peter is going to take care of this. He's going to clarify this, exactly who the one has done this healing. Peter and John take none of the credit. Immediately they give the credit to its proper place. And again, "Why look ye so earnestly upon us?" They chose not to take the credit. And we praise the Lord. And we need to see that when God uses us, he gives us wisdom to help or to do something. Let's see that we give God the glory. Let's see that we praise his precious name. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to be all over the Scripture today, because it's just the Scripture confirms Scripture, and so we're going to look at many verses today. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading actually with the first verse, but it comes all the way down to the fourth verse. Because that's where the clear scriptures are at, from 4 to verse 6 is what we're talking about. But we're going to begin with verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. "Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation for you, from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tablets of stone, but in fleshly tablets of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life." Where does the power come from? Every time we have the opportunity, you know, even just our very life, we need to understand, is given to us from our God, and we need to praise Him and give Him the honor and the glory. And so we find here in verse 12, "And when Peter saw it and answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why ye look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" Will you please understand, we had nothing to do with this. And then it begins to give an accounting of something that the men that he was speaking to would fully understand. And he began, "The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate." Now we're going to stop there, because what I want you to see is those very words. How could Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob glorify his Son Jesus? Because you see, they were looking for the Messiah. They had faith in the Messiah that was to come. It was not by works. We have several verses of Scripture here. We're going to go to Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. We find concerning Abraham, and it was saith the Scriptures, Romans 4:3, "For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Okay, let's go to James now, chapter 2, verse 23. Hebrews, James. James chapter 2, verse 23. "The Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Now, if we go back to, and we're not going to take time, but the promise was given, and we're going to read that in Genesis 12, but the promise was given also to Isaac, as the Scripture tells us here, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And so in Genesis 26:24, the promise was given to Isaac specifically. And then we read in Genesis 28:13, it was given to Jacob. Now, we're going to move to the Gospel of John and read chapter 8, verse 56, concerning Abraham. It was handed down, Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob. We're going to look at John chapter 8, verse 56. John chapter 8, verse 56. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." He saw it. Now we need to understand that when we walk by faith, and we don't know what God may have shown Abraham in his dreams, visions that he had in that time, but the Scripture tells us, that he saw it and was glad. That was speaking of Abraham. Now, let's go also back now, because I want to show you Genesis chapter 12. This is the one that you're familiar with, because this is where he is sent out. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." The promise was given to Abraham. We come back to Acts here, chapter 3, and we find that Peter, when he speaks to those that are listening, He goes to the one that they understand and have believed and followed all these years, their father Abraham. If you're going to make a connection with these people, and Peter chooses to do that, he's going to tie in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's going to bring them together so that they will understand what authority that Peter's speaking of here. And again, as we read back in James concerning that Abram not only knew it, but he saw it, the Scripture says, concerning the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Galatians 3, 16. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one to be thy seed, which is Christ. We have the connection here. Peter's making the connection between Abraham and the Lord Jesus because he wants these folks to see. And once he's made that connection, then he continues and says, and denied him, Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go, whom ye delivered up. The Jews, they were guilty at putting Jesus on the cross. Or do you think Rome? Was it Rome that crucified the Lord Jesus? Rome performed it. The Jews brought the Lord Jesus to Rome, to Romans, so that they could carry out the responsibility of the crucifixion. It says here very clearly that they killed the Prince of Life in verse 15. So the Jews were guilty of the death of Jesus. They crucified him, even though they did not literally nail him to the cross. But do we realize that it wasn't Rome? It wasn't the Jews. It was our sin that nailed him to the cross. But it was God that put him to death. Smitten of God, Isaiah 53:4. Let's go to Isaiah 53:4. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. It's to know that verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. We need to understand that it was God's plan to carry this out. And it's so sad that his own, the Jews, rejected him, that this could take place and this could happen. God's the one that struck the fatal blow. He denied him in the presence of Pilate. That's a statement that Peter's making to them. He makes the connection of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then he said, Pilate, the Roman, he tried to release Jesus. And you denied that opportunity. You denied that opportunity. Now we'll find that a little later in the Scriptures, it makes the division among the people and the leaders. And so this isn't just the Sanhedrin or the the officials here. This is the common people. And what happens today, and we've seen it today, we've seen it very recently, how that one or two people can stir a crowd up and get them to do things that they normally wouldn't. And that seems as though to be the fact of this day. And Peter, as he's talking to these folks, he's trying to show them, he's trying to convince them that this Jesus that you crucified, this Jesus is the one that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew, believed in, and was saved by. And he's making that connection here. And denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Now, this afternoon you can read Matthew 27, verses 17 through 25, and Luke chapter 23, verses 13 through 25, and you'll find this to be true. And we find that as Peter found no fault in him, he makes that statement three times, and that's in John 18:38 and John 19, verse 4 and verse 6. Three times Pilate comes out and says, I find no fault in this man. But of course we know by the pressure of others that he went ahead and delivered. But these same people that Peter's talking to here, they desired a murderer instead of a Savior. And if you reject the Lord Jesus today, that's exactly what you're doing. You're choosing a murderer, which is Satan. You're choosing to follow him instead of following the Lord Jesus. It's very clear. So you've got a choice to make. These people had a choice to make. Peter was making the case that it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that you, the ones that you say are your fathers, they believed in Jesus. They believed in this man Jesus. They knew he was coming. They knew he was going to die on the cross. They believed it, and even Abraham, it says that he even saw it. He saw this Savior. So when we look at these verses of Scripture, find out that as Peter speaks to them, and he makes it very clear, because as verse 13 tells us, God of our fathers hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Three times he came to them and says, I don't find any problem here. I want to let him go. But again, They chose. Now, look at the description here of the Lord Jesus that Peter gives. He said, but ye denied the Holy One. And let's add those words back in at the beginning of the next verse there in verse 14, Acts 3:14. Ye denied the Just One, and ye desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Ye killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, wherefore we are witnesses. This Jesus, the Holy One, the Just One, the Prince of Life, and you have chosen a murderer in his place. What's Peter doing? He's doing the very thing that all of us as believers should do. We should present the gospel, tell folks about the Lord Jesus, and bring them to a place of decision, a place where they have to make a decision to choose Barabbas or choose Jesus, choose the giver of life or choose a murderer. That's our responsibility. Our responsibility isn't to convince someone about this doctrine or that doctrine, because you see, the Holy Spirit will do that when they be saved, when they're born again. But they must be born again, or they're never going to see the light, because they have no light. All they have is darkness. And if all they have is darkness, the only thing we can give is bring that shining light to them. And who is that? That's the person Jesus. That's what we must do. We must bring the shining light to them. And then when they have a decision to make, are you going to trust in Jesus today? Are you going to continue to serve and walk with that murderer, Satan? Because that's exactly what they're doing. There's a point of decision, but we need to bring the Lord Jesus and clearly speak to them. This word prince here, killed the prince of life. That term is actually a military term. It speaks of a military leader or a commander. The same we find in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, only it says captain. And so that's the same word there. And so our Lord Jesus is a military leader. He is leading us on to victory. And that victory is through salvation. And He is the victor. He's won the battle. And so we find that in Hebrews 5, 9, the same word for captain, the same word for prince is the author. And there it says the author of our salvation. So He is the commander of our salvation. He is the prince of life. He is the prince of our salvation. This military captain, the commander, when he leads his soldiers to victory, that victor, sir, deserves our credit. And we need to acknowledge that he is the victor. We see God points to the one who is the captain, the author of victory, the prince of life. Let's go to John 14:6. John 14:6, the prince of life. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the prince of life, as the scripture says. What did they do with the prince of life? They killed the prince of life, whom God hath raised from the dead, wherefore we are witnesses. Jesus is a prince of life. He offered life to these Jews, but they chose Barabbas, the one that destroys life, that takes life. That's who they chose. Do we wonder why the Lord Jesus, why God the Father set Israel aside after the crucifixion and after the resurrection? Is because they made an open decision. And that was decision. The decision was to follow the murderer and not the Savior. And so we need to see that we follow after the Lord Jesus. And again, whom God hath raised up from the dead, wherefore you're witnesses. And in 1 Corinthians 15:3-8, it speaks of all those that saw him. You know, we saw him. Then Peter and the apostles saw him. And then up to 500 at once, the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 15. And then we come down to verse 16. His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong. We get down to the proper business at hand. Who healed this man? Peter tied everything in. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up. He makes that connection. But then he comes down to 16, and His name. Now, His name, you know, we talk about how there is power in the name of Jesus, and that is very true. But, you know, in the name itself, there are many people that have taken the name of Jesus. They have no power. It is the person behind the name. And when we speak of Jesus, we are talking about the Son of God, the Savior of the world. That's the reason there is power in the name of Jesus, is because it's the person, Jesus. Again, we don't have a religion. We serve a God. We serve a person. We walk with the person. We've accepted the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the difference. Faith in Jesus is to know that God in the flesh came here to this earth, died, and rose again to save us. The word Jesus we know means Savior. So when it says in His name, through faith in His name, made this man strong. It all comes down to the person, the Lord Jesus. Again, the name Jesus means Savior. There's none other name under heaven, Acts 4:12 tells us where we may be saved. That power, that exact power, the healing was by the authority and the power of Jesus, the person. Through faith in His name, or by the means of faith in the person Jesus. Peter gets right to business. His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him who hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. It is the God that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob worshipped, knew, and that is this man, Jesus, the Son of God. He is the Savior. That's who made this man whole. Peter makes a very clear point. And then this is where he adds in, "And now, brethren, I would that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers." So you see, it wasn't just the Sadducees and the Pharisees. It wasn't just the Sanhedrin that he was talking to. He was talking to the common man, his brothers. You've been taken by your rulers. You've been led astray. You have accepted a murderer instead of a Savior. You have accepted Barabbas that brings death versus Jesus, who is the Prince of Life. And we need to proclaim those precious words each and every day. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank You today that we can come and speak these precious words. And as Peter was bringing it right to home of the God that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob served, and that was the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. And that allows us then to come to God the Father because we know the Son. We have to know Jesus first. The Spirit of God brings us to that point. So please today, those that are saved, born again, open our mouths. Give us leadership and wisdom and strength to speak Your precious word. And then, Father, be excited and just pray that those that we have the opportunity to give the gospel to, that they will not choose death. They will not choose Barabbas. They'll choose Jesus. Please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us now. Speak to all of our hearts, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.